everyone. Thank you for coming this morning and for finding this cozy little niche downstairs. I welcome you to our panel today, Marriage, Ideals, Practices, and New Critics. It is being filmed and recorded for H. France Salon. So we will try to take pressure off everyone by making initial comments quick and also by allowing you lots of time to engage. Right? Our first speaker today is Andrea Mansker. She is currently at the University of the South after having received her PhD from the University of California, Los Angeles in 2003. She is an associate professor there and also the director or the chair of the Women's and Gender Studies program. She has several publications that have appeared in feminist studies and French historical studies in the last few years. You may well know her book, Sex, Honor, and Citizenship in Early Third Republic France, which appeared in 2011 and which I have used in class and the students love as well. So, and she is currently working on a new book project entitled Matchmaking and the Marriage Market in 19th Century France, which is in progress. Today, her paper is Marriage and the Politics of Policy Repression Under the Empire. Please welcome Andrea.
Founder of the most widely known matrimonial agency in post-revolutionary Paris, Claude Vuillaume was a self-proclaimed rebel, romantic, and dreamer who suffered from bouts of mental instability and was confined to the famous Parisian asylum of Charenton on multiple occasions. In 1811, he forged a new industry based on his tumultuous experiences as a revolutionary soldier and an enemy of state deemed, quote, dangerous to the person of His Majesty, end quote. He suggested in his 1818 memoirs that his decision to pursue commercial matchmaking derived from the persecutions he had suffered at the hands of the Napoleonic police. Accused of attempting to assassinate First Consul Bonaparte in 1803, Vuillaume was detained for nearly 3 years in multiple Parisian prisons and asylums, followed by an indeterminate sentence as an internal exile in Troyes. He explained to his readers that after his traumatic experience as a political prisoner, the seemingly apolitical project of facilitating marriages appealed to him. Quote, I said to myself that at least the police will not be able to meddle in this. It was in my captivity that I conceived my plan, end quote. Such published statements about the origins of his matchmaking enterprise indicate not only an effort to convince the restored Bourbon monarchy of the non-political purpose of his agency. They represent one of Vuillaume's numerous attempts at commercial self-fashioning for a post-revolutionary public drawn to exposés of Napoleonic crimes and abuses. In two well-publicized and widely circulated memoirs under the Restoration, Vuillaume recounted his victimization by Bonaparte's extensive police bureaucracy and wove his tale of his personal tale of arbitrary punishment into his struggle to establish his agency and his marketing narratives on love and matrimony. As Jennifer Heuer argues in her article on Mariage Blanc during the imperial military levée, historians have only recently begun to assess the effects of Napoleonic military and political crimes on the family and relations between the sexes. Heuer's study of petitions by men who married to avoid conscription demonstrates an imaginative link petitioners made, quote, between domestic difficulties and those on the battlefield, end quote, and exposes some of the discursive strategies individuals use to convince restoration authorities to end their malassorti marriages. Similarly, an analysis of Vuillaume's memoirs reveals some of the ways in which ordinary individuals understood the impact of Napoleonic political persecution on their private lives and their attitudes toward marriage. Vuillaume's case additionally suggests how a person could capitalize on his firsthand experience of police repression to craft an effective commercial persona. He used the irrational theme of destiny to project a public identity as an impulsive and sentimental purveyor of matches for individuals whose lives had been disrupted by the social and political upheaval of the previous decades. Vuillaume consistently argued in his memoirs and marketing materials that love was a product of chance, as random and incomprehensible as individuals' fates under a rash and despotic ruler like Bonaparte. Writing about the unexpected success of his matrimonial agency in 1818 and the sense of fulfillment he derived from constructing new families after the turmoil of the revolutionary years, Vuillaume wrote, quote, that's the way of the world. The most singular events, the strangest destinies, are often connected to the most unnoticed causes. if the imperial government had not placed me in Charenton, I would have never come up with the idea of my establishment, end quote. This theme of singular events and the strangest destinies was one that Villaume consistently underscored when describing his views on love and marriage, as well as his own troubled history of persecution under the consular and imperial regimes. His multiple brochures on his bureau employed chance as a marketing motif that served both as justification for his controversial foray into commercial matchmaking and as a tool to critique previous patterns of courtship and matrimony. Guillaume established his Agence Générale Centrale pour Paris et l'Empire on the Rue Neuve-Saint-Eustache in 1811, initially offering a wide array of job placement and financial services, as did a number of other business agents in the capital. Contrary to his revisionist statements in 1818, marriage brokerage did not factor into his initial prospectus. As he explained in his 1812 book dedicated to promoting and defending his matrimonial services, this idea came to him as the result of a casual suggestion made by a client. Quote, "At first I only dealt with mortgage registrations, real estate sales, commercial partnerships, capital investments, etc. When I noticed that many people who had notes to insert in the Journal Général des Affiches were sometimes hindered from doing so by personal motives, I decided to propose that they take a secret address in my office. Requests for marriages resulted from this proposal, which I did not expect," end quote. Defending his bureau against detractors who accused him of charlatanism due to the perceived novelty of commercial matchmaking during the post-revolutionary period, Villaume suggested that there was nothing premeditated or exploitative about his new specialty. He had simply stumbled upon an unforeseen demand among the public and sought to satisfy it. How then could critics fault him for manipulation? Quote, "It is a matter here of discoveries. It is only a question of marriages that came to me, as I said, completely naturally and without me even thinking about it," end quote. As he portrayed it, Villaume had become an accidental intermediary based on his client's desire to place personal ads in the newspaper, popularly known as the Petite Affiche, while hiding their identities. This meant that he did not compose their ads or even select candidates for them at this early stage. Rather, his role was simply to serve as a confidential transmission point for correspondence between private parties. For him, the success of his marriage bureau was a happy accident that reaffirmed the role of destiny in his own life and in that of his contemporaries. Given the tremendous reversals of fortune the entire country experienced in this period, Villaume seemed to suggest that it was best not to dig too deeply into rational causes or to seek explanations for one's individual circumstances. Rather, he and his clients preferred to view what had happened to them in terms of fate, which could be cruel, but could also be serendipitous. He insisted that fate had allowed him to build a successful enterprise out of the darkest chapter of his life. The self-styled matchmaker went further than this to argue that coincidence had come to define practically all marriages in France during this time of instability. He explained in his first prospectus, devoted exclusively to justifying his marriage services in the Petite Affiche of January 3, 1812, that the directors of this newspaper, quote, "had doubts and prejudices against this type of classified ad," end quote, even suspecting, quote, "the reality of the requests made to me," end quote. Such misgivings were shared by the general public, as Villaume recognized. He noted that, quote, "opinions are divided on the marriage ads," end quote, that he had placed in the Petite Affiche in the previous months. But outlining one of the main reasons he felt this medium appealed to many Frenchmen and women in the present circumstances, he wrote, quote, "All that one can object to about this manner of marrying appears to me to boil down to observing that it is to begin by a kind of hasard. But if chance, which enters more or less into all marriages, begins these unions, reflection alone completes them," end quote. Being subject to irrational forces, Villaume would reiterate in his prospectus and pamphlets on marriage, was a common experience for everyone of his generation. It had come to define all relationships at their origins, no matter their later development. To illustrate the truth of this statement, he revealed the role of fortune in his own intimate life choices. He often reminded readers that his happy marriage to Abel Louise Antoinette Jenny on May 18, 1810, was the result of a fortuitous encounter on the streets of Paris. He liked to declare that Abel, quote, "was sent to me by a couple stone," end quote. As he elaborated in his 1812 brochure, quote, "I was crossing the Rue du Hasard in Paris. A young woman crossed there also, but in a direction opposite to mine. A cobblestone was in her way. She stumbled and fell near me. I helped her up. The graceful manner in which she thanked me, the sound of her voice, her languor, an unbelievable charm in her appearance, everything about her predisposed me in her favor and inspired in me the desire to know her more personally. I obtained permission to accompany her home and to return there. I courted her for a year. I discovered new perfections in her. Finally, I married her, end quote. Though his courtship ultimately settled into a fairly typical pattern, Vuillaume emphasized the way he met his wife was completely random and relied on the augmented circulation and anonymity of Paris under the empire. The impact of the changing urban landscape on older customs of marriage was a theme he would greatly develop in his marketing materials. He retold this story in his 1813 book, acknowledging that biased people would most likely mock him for this sentimental personal anecdote. But in response, he pushed them to reflect on the origins of their own relationships. Quote, I would urge them to retell the history of their marriages, and one would see that if reflection usually finishes them, chance begins them nearly always, end quote. Vuillaume framed his ideal of love in the romantic language of fate, emphasizing the unpredictable forces in the universe that made individuals collide and allowed a person to find his or her future spouse when least expecting it on the Rue du Hasard. Many people who had lived through the revolutionary era and empire identified with this notion, as their abundant correspondence to him testifies, and it was an effective trope that Vuillaume deployed to promote his matrimonial agency. After Napoleon's fall from power in 1814, Vuillaume added an unexpected political dimension to this commercial persona as a passionate matchmaker who nudged individuals toward their destinies. In his restoration memoirs, which he combined with promotional materials on his marriage bureau, the celebrity broker attributed his emphasis on chance to his personal saga of arbitrary incarceration and surveillance by the Napoleonic regime. This was a senseless experience that he felt had wasted his youth and rendered him, quote, the most unhappy of men, end quote. Vuillaume framed his autobiography as a tale of adventure, but one that was punctuated by extended periods of deep affliction at the hands of an enigmatic and spiteful police administration. As he would repeat in his sensational self-published memoirs of 1814 and 1818, no one had endured as many injustices as he had under the consulate and empire, and no one had as much right as he did to complain of Napoleon's despotism. Detained in the prisons of Bicêtre, the Temple, Charenton, and La Force over the course of 32 months between 1803 and 1806, Vuillaume estimated that, quote, not a man in France has seen more prisons than I have, nor merited seeing less of them, end quote. So that readers might know the full extent of his persecution, he titled his 1814 memoirs, My Detentions as Prisoner of State Under the Government of Bonaparte, followed by My Escape, Exile, Rearrest, etc. Vuillaume dedicated his pamphlet to the imperial police and explained that his motive was to, quote, tell of my misfortunes, to inspire horror for the abuse of power, to make sure that one cannot guess the authors of my troubles, to pardon them, to stay silent then and forever, end quote. In the multiple iterations of his autobiography, the matchmaker characterized his early arrest and harassment as a result of happenstance, end quote, an inevitability linked to my destiny, end quote. His encounter with the consular state's police bureaucracy began on October 24, 1803, when, according to a report by Prefect of Police Louis-Nicolas Dubois, quote, an unknown person introduced himself to the first consul just as he was touring the shipyard of the Invalide and asked him for a meeting. The first consul referred him to General Savary, who believed to recognize in him some signs of dementia. I had this individual arrested the next day, end quote. Dubois specified in later reports that upon appearing suddenly before Bonaparte on one of the boats he was inspecting, Vuillaume, quote, asked him for a meeting with a disoriented look, was carrying two pistols that he had bought recently, and he had no papers at that time, end quote. His erratic behavior, as well as the fact that he held two guns on his person and appeared to hide information when interrogated, led the police to suspect him of sinister designs. Dubois recommended that such behavior necessitated preventative detention in order to protect the first consul in a period when Bonaparte faced numerous assassination attempts. In his subsequent efforts to exonerate himself, Vuillaume insisted that his 1803 arrest was simply a matter of bad luck and timing. describing the way that, quote, chance alone had led him toward the Invalide shipyard that day, end quote, in one of his first interrogations. He portrayed himself from 1803 as an individual blindly caught up in events rather than as a cold-blooded assassin. In his memoirs, Vuillaume insisted that he was a practically illiterate young veteran who had suffered unanticipated personal and professional disappointments in the months leading up to his encounter with the First Consul. Having worked briefly for the Criminal Justice Court of the Vosges as an unofficial defense attorney after his definitive release from military service and hoping to make a career out of it, his dreams were suddenly crushed by a law on the judiciary that required a 5-year course of study in the field before a person could be admitted to the bar. Vuillaume claimed that these unforeseen circumstances unsettled him and made him despair for his future. Quote, "At the age of 23, these losses made deep impressions on me. Those that I felt were so profound that I left straight away for Paris with the resolution of resuming my first trade, that of soldiering. One spoke then of the invasion of England. The dangers it presented were consistent with the situation of my soul," end quote. Appealing to his audience on the basis of the uncontrollable internal and external circumstances that impelled him to seek out Bonaparte in Paris, Vuillaume absolved himself of responsibility for his actions and vilified the First Consul's police for unjustly persecuting a patriot. The broker employed this discursive strategy centered on fate not only in his restoration memoirs, but in his earlier relentless letter campaign to gain his release from prison and police surveillance. He directed his poignant appeals to multiple government officials from 1803 to 1806, and these efforts were instrumental in his exculpation. As he wrote in his self-published memoirs of 1806, composed from internal exile and addressed to the Senatorial Commission on Individual Liberty, quote, "Unfortunate, but exempt from reproach and absolutely unknown by His Majesty, whom I admired, loved, and will always love as much by sentiment as by reason, I was, when I least expected it and by the strangest of destinies, arrested and blamed for bad intentions against his august person," end quote. Such a strongly worded appeal written from exile was an attempt to convince the emperor of Vuillaume's innocence of any criminal intentions toward His Majesty's person. He used the theme of chance to suggest that his troubles in prison and the difficulties he encountered obtaining his release were due not to the emperor, whom he would, quote, "always love as much by sentiment as by reason," end quote, but to his police bureaucracy and a particular vindictiveness on the part of certain personalities within it. In his numerous letters and personal accounts from the period, he cultivated a self-image as a youthful, romantic follower of the Napoleonic cult, who was initially arrested in 1803 due to the strangest of destinies. In my detentions, Vuillaume also endeavored to convince his public that the imperial police had a personal vendetta against him because of his 1805 attempt to establish a general and central placement office in the capital. He adamantly insisted that, quote, "even though the state had been the pretext of his second arrest," end quote, his proposal was, quote, "indisputably the unique and secret cause of it," end quote. Arguing that the multiple small offices in Paris bribed the police to protect their interests and to illegally thwart competition from other agencies, Vuillaume explained that the other bureaus were threatened by his proposal for centralization. He claimed that he was suddenly violently awoken one morning by the police, who burst into his room, tied him up, seized his belongings, and, quote, "rearrested me as a man dangerous to the emperor's person," end quote. Vuillaume suggested that not only were his rights, quote, "violated with impunity by the agent charged with the execution of the arrest," end quote, but the police sent him back to Charenton, quote, "without submitting me to the preliminary examination of a medical board," end quote. Vuillaume argued that it was by branding him as insane that the police deprived his legitimate complaints against them of any rational or justifiable basis. Complaining of the extrajudicial means the prefecture used to silence its critics, Vuillaume built a case similar to the authors of the pre-revolutionary genre of prison writings. These individuals protested their arbitrary incarceration and callous treatment by the royal government. The most famous of these pamphlets was the shocking autobiographical account of Henri Mazet de Latude. In 1790, Latude published an authentic memoir of his 35 years spent in the state prisons of the Bastille, Bicêtre, Vincennes, and Charenton under the Ancien Régime. His autobiography became an immediate bestseller that encapsulated many of the previous themes that anti-Bastille journalism had exposed to a public readership in the 1780s. The revolutionaries publicly celebrated his story as proof of royal attempts to silence and oppress the government's critics. Villon mimicked Latude in his lurid novelistic recounting of the cruel persecutions he had experienced in a variety of state prisons under Bonaparte, and transposed Latude's critique of ministerial despotism onto Napoleon's autocratic criminal justice system. His melodramatic appeal to the Restoration public emphasized his sense of powerlessness in the face of an arbitrary system and his ignorance of the agents determining his fate. In his provocative Restoration memoirs, Villon sought to capitalize on his harrowing personal experience of police repression under the consulate and empire. The broker was already well known for his thriving Parisian marriage bureau. He had cultivated a commercial persona as a whimsical matchmaker who let the hand of fate guide him in arranging unions for individuals whose lives and fortunes had been upended by the long revolutionary and Napoleonic decades. In 1814, he elaborated on this romantic script, adding the scandalous details of his background as a political prisoner for an audience enthralled by captivity narratives and exposés about Bonaparte's secretive police network. The commercialized theme of destiny allowed him to attribute his personal difficulties to the former emperor's irrational criminal justice system, as well as to reimagine courtship and matrimony for a post-revolutionary audience that struggled to cope with the impact of political and social crisis on their private lives. Thank you.